This is Insecticon Bob. He's doing very well indeed. That's because Insecticon Bob listens to TFYLP weekly. And Insecticon Bob loves Transformers, as does his missus. You can get TFYLP by downloading from iTunes today. Do not listen to TFYLP if instructed to do so by Chuck Norris. Do not place a listening device into the anus as choking may occur. Please contact a physician if an erection for TFYLP lasts longer than 4 hours.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
The Scepter here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us as Weird Wolf, Insane Galvatron, Cyburn 2, Guard Convoy, Mirai Baby, Natsume Ryu, and Plasticon Reviews discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that corner stop? Ratchet, can you take the corner stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 64, recorded October 4th, 2013. I am Weird Wolf. Along with me is Plasticon.
How's it going, guys?
And on the phone, we have Insane Galvatron.
Hello, I'm driving my car down the highway.
Yay, hopefully we don't lose you, but he had to go pick his daughter up from today, and... He wanted to get on the phone, so he's on the phone.
This is why I love 4G with unlimited data and the Samsung Galaxy Note 2.
Yes, it's an awesome phone. But yeah, I missed out last week because I was getting married. Yay! And very, very happy right now. Actually planned on being gone this week, but... money, we just didn't have the money to actually go anywhere. So and what money that we did get from the wedding, we was able to get a nice little room the night of, but yeah, we both pretty much crashed. We got had a couple of glasses of wine and went to sleep. So yeah, but it was an awesome and beautiful wedding.
That's what happens when you get married in your mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
It's not like the early 20s where your wedding night's like, woo, party up all night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I got married back in June, and it's like, you know, by the time we got to the hotel room, it's like 10, 10:30, you're ready to go to sleep.
But yeah.
You're such a perv.
Yeah. But yeah, we had an absolutely wonderful and beautiful wedding. Insane Galvatron, you were a groomsman in it, a side cutter from Captured Prey. He was a groomsman, and Batosai from Geek Existence. He was my best man, and we just had an absolutely phenomenal outdoor wedding. The weather couldn't have been better. The setting, I'd say we had anywhere between 40, 50 people at one time there. So it was.
We could have done without the yellow jackets.
Yeah, the yellow jackets were a little bit terrible, but I think that was all because of the sweets and stuff that was around.
They kept diving into the glasses and we watched them drown.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But it was a fantastic time and a lot of memories and stuff. Actually, I'd planned on getting on a little bit earlier tonight to set up and prepare for the podcast. So if we seem overly ill-prepared today, it's entirely my fault because we got our wedding photos in this evening, and we finally had a chance to go through them and look at them and share a number of them, and it was some more good memories. But on to the podcast.
You know,
go ahead.
We probably could have winged it good enough. People wouldn't have known we didn't prepare, but you had to go call attention to it.
Yeah, yeah. The big white elephant in the room here.
So unprofessional.
Yes, yes. Totally.
Wait, Ultraman.
Yes. So unprofessional. I have penises on the screen here. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah, I saw those.
Yeah, even though you can't see them on the downloaded version of this, yes, I just showed. This is a party favor that my wife now, had at her bachelorette party. She had these little rubber wangs, and she wore them as antennas at her bachelorette party, and she dared me to wear them on the podcast, and here I am, so because I'm such a sucker for that. So yes, I've wore cocks on the podcast, but yes, I know no I shame.
On to other news. Dark cigar, so you can't see me, but I'm face palming.
Yeah, it's awesome. On to the podcast. We are broadcasting live on YouTube tonight, as we usually do. If you're listening in and watching us live on YouTube, feel free to leave comments in the comment section. We'd love to hear from you, and if we have any comments that are pertinent to what we're talking about, we'll mention them during the podcast and give you a little shout out. We also have our forums up and running, tftalk.net. We've got started up a post today just to kind of see how it will run, and hope it really takes off. It's called Posts Against Humanity. If you've played Cards Against Humanity, it's kind of like a little game similar to that. If you're interested in it, check it out on the forums. Should be a lot of fun. As also, we've got a Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. It's an open group. You're free to ask to join, and I'll approve it. And you can go in there and talk about Transformers, post your stuff for sale that are Transformer-related. And it's a lot of good stuff in there. And last but not least, you can follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. I'm monitoring the Twitter feed right now, and if you have any comments or questions, feel free to tweet us at TFYLP. Now that that's out of the way, I'm kind of thanking a few people here that's congratulating me on Twitter. So thank you at TJ Duckett and Mock Tackle. You've commented on there, and I appreciate that. I guess we'll go into the Ouch My Wallet segment. Since I wasn't here last week, I got a few things in. And St. Galvatron, did you have anything this week?
Yes, actually. I mentioned it last week that I was at Kroger, and which is a regional supermarket chain here in this Midwest. And they had all five of the records. And I didn't pick them up before the last podcast. I just saw them. So, like, the day after we podcast, I went by, and they were all still there. So I grabbed them all, took them up to the register, tried to scan one, did the self-checkout, and it said item not found. Now, the Beast Hunters Deluxes at this store were like $12.99 or $13-something. They're around $13. So I figured these would be about the same. There was no shelf tag. The tag was blank where they were hanging. So the guy comes over, and I told him, well, the other toys the same size are like $13. He said, well, I'll go find out what they are for you. He takes one and goes back, talks to a guy in the toy department, comes back like a minute or so later, and is like, yeah, $10 each. So I got all five records for just $10 a piece.
Sweet.
$50 for Ruination. Nice deal.
Can't beat that.
Yes. All because they weren't ringing up in the system. So, yeah. I think that's all I got this week.
You have other things, but they're in behind this wall of toys of mine. And in my closet.
Well, yeah, I've talked about that before, though. It's, stuff that's been sent to your house.
Yeah.
You have quite a bit of my stuff. But I've talked about that as it's come in, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I don't think you've talked about it. It's...
Well, not in the G1 stuff. I mentioned the big lot of RID and Machine Wars stuff. Because I wanted the Machine Wars going to sell the RID. I know I mentioned that before.
Well, I think I showed a few things off. I know your Star Saber, whenever it came in, I showed it on the show. And then the Machine Wars stuff, which is actually pertinent to our show tonight. For those of you who are listening in and are new to the show, we try to have a discussion topic generally about something in the Transformers fandom. And or in the collector realm, and tonight we're going to be discussing filler lines, those little lines that you also find next to the main line on the shelves that are also under the Transformers banner. We'll be talking about those a little bit tonight. And Machine Wars, what Greg was mentioning there, is one of those lines. I think my favorite toy out of all those was Machine Wars Starscream, so much so that it prompted me to kind of look on eBay and see if I could find one cheaply, and I was able to. And it was awesome.
That's all I got this week. So,
plastic.
I got stuff in the mail,
The mail. Plasticon, did you have anything for the Ouch My Wallet this week?
Only thing I have for Ouch My Wallet, unfortunately, is not robot related, but it is related to something else I do. I do play Warcraft, so I did a character transfer. That's probably about it.
Nice.
And it was fairly expensive, but.
Yeah, I got to get used to saying this now. My wife, she was absolutely addicted to World of Warcraft for 5 years. It was before I met her, but she said that she could not pull herself away from that game. I've been fortunate to actually stay away from it because I've been hearing of the addictive nature of it, and knowing the kind of gamer I am, I would be just the type of person that would sit there and spend the entire day, because I mean, Civilization IV, I have actually sat down after I ate breakfast and started playing a game, and 11:30 that night was still playing it. So yeah,
that sounds about like Warcraft.
Yeah. I really didn't know that I'd been playing it that long. You know, I just zone out, and then I look up at the time on my computer, and I'm like, "Holy crap, is that 11:30 p.m.?" But yeah, it will suck you in.
Yes, sir.
I guess I'll go into my Ouch My Wallet. I know. I did listen to last week's podcast because, well, I had to edit it to upload it today. Insane Galvatron mentioned that one of my wedding gifts, kind of backtrack there, we got a few wedding gifts from a few guests at the wedding, and one of the gifts was wrapped, and there was a box in that was wrapped, and there was a box in that. And that was wrapped, and another box that was in that was wrapped, and another box that was in that. Yeah, it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, we finally get down to it, and there's a small box and a small envelope, and on the envelope was a handwritten note that said, "Guess which one of you gets to open which one of these presents." Or which one of these is for which person. And it said, "Please don't kill me." Well, the reason it said, "Please don't kill me," is because my wife told him prior to the wedding, because he had done so much and had been so instrumental in helping get the wedding come to fruition and everything. We really didn't expect him to go this far, but he did. And Sidecutter from CapturedPrey.com, who's also sponsoring our podcast, and go ahead and plug him right now, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. So if you have any Transformer or third-party needs, check out Captured Prey. Awesome prices, and a friend aside, he's just an awesome person to deal with, great prices. But yeah, she opened up the package, and I opened up the envelope, which actually it should have been the other way around. The envelope was a gift certificate for some cooking supplies and everything. Of course, my wife, she loves to cook and everything for people, and that's a fantastic gift. And the box was, as Greg mentioned last week, Quadruple U, Fans Project, Third Party Weird Wolf. And I am absolutely ecstatic. I totally didn't expect this. Absolutely phenomenal figure. I have to admit, I sat and cried a little bit after we opened it, because, I mean, it's just something special. I mean,
tell the truth, you had to change your pants.
Yes, I did, because well, we came back to the house and opened up stuff before we went to our honeymoon suite. But But yeah, the oops, stand up.
Yeah. I meant you changed your pants because you love that toy so much.
No,
you made a mess.
No, I didn't. yeah, I mean, it just very, very thoughtful gifts. I mean, he got something that was near and dear to Jenna's heart and near and dear to my heart. And I mean, he couldn't have got better gifts, I have to say. But yeah, it was totally awesome, totally unexpected, and probably one of the best gifts we could have got. Also, in trade this week, traded a sealed Mighty Mug, I think it's Mighty Mug Shockwave, for Fall of Cybertron Grimlock. I kind of agree with a lot of people's sentiments on this toy. It could be better. It's not a bad toy. However, I think it does have a lot of good merits to it. I like the detail. The hollowness of it doesn't bother me as much. But it's got a lot of great detail, a lot of good posability. The joints are a little bit tight. And dinosaur mode, it could be a little bit more posable in dinosaur mode, but I'm overall happy with it. Don't like the tail. The tail's a bit thick. But I think my biggest gripe, and it's kind of minor, but my biggest gripe with this toy is the fact that the weapons are not... They don't stow away in dino mode, except for if you want to plug them on the side of the hips, and they kind of look stupid that way. So,
well, you were talking about the thick tail. That was something I was noticing when I got that toy, is it seems like the reason the tail is so thick is because it doesn't taper down like G1 Grimlock's tail. And it's because when G1 Grimlock transforms, the feet are closer to the hip, and they kind of do that pivot at the knee.
Yeah.
Whereas this one just kind of doesn't go fancy either, but just slides straight up. So if they had made the tail the right shape for dino mode, he would have had the leg thing where, you know, his legs went really thick at the knee and thin at the ankle. Where if they went to make it right on the leg, you'd have had a dinosaur where the tail was thinner up at the body and thicker at the tip of the tail.
Yeah.
So they kind of went with the make it the even thickness from front to back, but still just kind of looks awkward in both modes.
Yeah, I see why they did it. It just kind of looks funny in the... In on the figure itself, so I don't know. I'm just not really crazy about it. Also, I'm checking out the comments here. It kind of froze up there for me a second. Also, I made another trade. I traded, what was it I traded for this? Totally slipped my mind what I traded for. It's been such a busy couple weeks. No, I don't think Suede 66 would appreciate that. No, but no, he.
Okay, HJ.
No, I don't think so. But
okay.
I traded pretty much straight up for Fans Project T-Bone. I don't know why my. I need to get the zoom in. There we go. Fans Project T-Bone. Absolutely awesome figure. He's pretty much the same as the not breakdown or the car crash mold, just with a slightly different head. And I think the rear panels are a little bit different on the car. But
well, the whole car is different.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a completely different kind of Lamborghini. Put them both in car mode. Look at them.
Oh, well, I guess. I mean, I've stood them side by side. In robot mode, essentially, there's not huge differences in the robot mode. It's the main point that I'm trying to get across.
It's like they use the exact same transformation for both toys.
Yeah, which is not. I'm not complaining because the G1 toys had a lot of the same transformations too. Breakdown was, I think, the long difference. No, Breakdown and Dead End had pretty much the same transformation in Generation 1.
As did Wild Rider.
No, Wild Rider, he didn't have this, the flip-out feet. He just had the pull-down feet and the flip-up and back hood. Whereas Breakdown and Dead End, you kind of pulled down and then swung out the legs, the lower part of the legs, and then pushed back up and then flipped over the car hood. So, yeah, Breakdown and Dead End had the same transformation in Generation 1. But if anything, I guess Dragstrip and Wild Rider in Generation 1 had the same transformation. But
I'm holding up
right here. Yeah. Backwards. Kind of a backwards.
Yeah.
Because Dragstrip, the top of the car, was his stomach, where on Wild Rider, he was... top car was
back. Now, I noticed you have a an interesting configuration there, Plasticon. If you can hold it up, I'll highlight it for people to look at. You got the car feet with the mm-hmm. car parts turned around. I noticed a lot of people, and I even did it this way with my toy whenever I had it. I had the front, or actually the bottoms of the car facing forward, because in the original cartoon, the top of the car was on the back of his legs. But he has a little trouble standing if you do it the cartoon way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you transform him that way, he doesn't kind of lean forward as much. But
and he also has some quasi-knee joints that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the way the heads fold over, now they're fold over the back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it will actually give him knee joints, which is kind of nice, considering these are very, very limited on poseability.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about it, that's kind of one way you can make any of your Scramble Cities do that, by the way. Depending on actually which bot it is, there's a few of them that you can't really do that with, but you can get knee articulation normally out of them. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Really like
yeah.
it.
I kind of hope that. I can't wait till I finish Intimidator or the Not Minasaur. I've got another sale on the way. I'm trading United Black Optimus Prime to Sway 66. We're going to do a cash trade thing, and I'm going to get Classics Astral Train out of it, and then use the cash from that sale, and I'm going to get Last Chance, which is the Not Dead End, and hopefully if I can unload enough stuff by the time Slagicon rolls around or at Slagicon, I will use some of that money to pay for Diesel, which is the Not Motormaster. Today I sold Apex and Geminis, and I used the money from that to get Downforce. So Downforce is on the way, free shipping. So I actually checked with Captured Prey, and he, because they were out of stock on Downforce and Last Chance, and it is unknown right now whether or not new stock will be in anytime soon. So rather than risking it and hoping to be able to pick them up later, I went ahead and got them now. I got Downforce now, and then next week I'll get the Last Chance. But that's my Ouch My Wallet, unless you guys have got anything else you want to mention.
Has Plasticon had that turn yet, Eddie?
Yeah, he didn't have anything.
I mean, I don't really have anything. Like I said, my whole thing is I built up a couple things on WoW, and that was about it. I don't have anything else, like, toy-wise at the moment right now. I mean, after BBTS hit me last, about 2 weeks ago with that, I pretty much, yeah. I think I'm good for probably about the month, but I don't know yet. Give me a few days.
Have you got that BBTS order in yet, or is it just hit your pile of loot?
It hit my pile of loot, and I already got, what I had last week, the G1 Predaking and the entire line of the IDW figures they have out right now.
Hmm.
It is a big chunk, but like I said, I ran into a financial thing dealing with my financial aid that kind of messed me over this week, well, the beginning of this month, so. No big deal. We got it straight.
That'll
out.
Tend to do it.
We're good.
But, I believe we'll wrap up the Ouch My Wallet. Again, brought to you by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturedPrey.com. Also, before we move on to our listener feedback or listener question, want to throw out another mention of Slagicon. which is coming up at the end of this month, October 26th and 27th at the Cincinnati Hilton, Cincinnati Airport Hilton in Florence, Kentucky. This is, I believe, the fifth annual SlagaCon.
I think it's the fourth.
Yeah, it might be the fourth. We broke the announcement of the one of the exclusives a few weeks ago on the podcast. And if you're in the central United States area within a good 7 or 8 hour drive, I believe it's worth a check out if you come and visit SlagaCon. I believe through tonight you can get 25% off on pre-registration, and also the rooms are available for $99 a night at the convention location, which is the Hilton at the Cincinnati Airport. So don't forget SlagaCon at the end of this month, October 26th and 27th in Florence, Kentucky. Well, let's move on to our listener question. This question is from Tater X from the TFTalk.net forums. Check us out on there. You can post your listener questions, and we will try our best to answer them. If you have any comments or questions, post them in the podcast listener forum on the message board at tftalk.net. Tater X asks in here, he says, well, hello, Bots and Cons. It's nice to be here. Been wanting to find a new Transformer-related message board to post on, so here I am. I really enjoyed the podcast and stumbled upon it by just looking through the iTunes library for podcasts about Transformers or toys in general. I also started watching the show on YouTube. A question for Weird Wolf. The wall of toys that is behind me, how much of my collection is that? Well, they're all part of my collection. And also, do I change up the display frequently or let it...
I think he didn't mean it that way. I think he meant of your total collection.
Oh.
How big of a percentage of your total collection is that?
Probably.
I don't think he thinks you have other people's toys in your house.
Well actually, yes, I do. So...
They're in the closet.
Yeah, well, no. There's actually a big box with Star Saber and stuff right behind that. But
oh, okay.
I'd say it's maybe 3%, rough guess, of my collection. And actually, five boxes, including the Function X here, those are empty boxes. They might have a few little accessories still in them. Those are empty. Of course, that's full. That's a knockoff Ruination. And then you have, this is my vintage original G1 Devastator here in a knockoff box. But I actually started putting that up there because prior to the wedding, my wife, she was doing some custom mason jars for some table settings and everything for the wedding, and she was making some other things, and she's also really heavy into scrapbooking. And if you watch older episodes of the podcast on YouTube, it was just an empty table back there and looked kind of nice. Well, and whenever all the mess started happening and everything, just to kind of cover it up and make the podcast look a little more Transformer themed, I started stacking boxes up in the back to kind of give it a better look and kind of cover up the mess. So that's the reasoning behind that. And now the desk, the table back there is clean with the exception of one of Greg's boxes on there. But I kind of just decided to roll with it and keep some boxes up there. And I'll swap them out from time to time with whatever I've got handy. And, of course, I've got probably put my Ouch My Wallet stuff back here if I have anything. But yeah, that's the reasoning behind that. He says, also, do you change the display frequently or let it grow towards the ceiling like a blob? I just answered that. I change it out frequently and it does not grow toward the ceiling. Although that kind of would be cool.
If every week you just added one box and then like you know, people wouldn't notice because they would see the small change.
Well, I'll go ahead and pick up my webcam here, and as you can see, it's kind of just, there goes my video. I don't know why, but
no, we can see it. It's still there.
On my screen, it's just a white screen. Well, there it is. That's good. But yeah, it's pretty much just a few boxes sitting on a table. Otherwise, that table would be empty. And there's a whole big bunch of comics back there and all that jazz. But that's generally what that's for. Thank you, Tater X, for your listener question. And we hope to hear from other listeners on the tftalk.net forums. Also, if you have any other questions, you can also tweet them at us at TFYLP. Go ahead, Greg.
I actually am stopping at a Walmart. I got to pick my daughter up some cold medicine.
Yes.
So I'm going to do probably the first ever live podcast toy hunt. I will go through the transport department in the store and see what's here.
Nice.
Assuming I don't lose signal. Sometimes Walmarts are notorious for not getting a good signal.
That would suck. But yes, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Bad you can't do video while you're doing this. That would be awesome.
Well, I'm going to try. I don't know why I don't have video now. I should have video. The phone has a camera in it. It was working earlier. Had to reboot the phone because I was having audio issues, and now I don't have camera anymore.
Hmm.
So I do not know what the issue is with the camera.
I don't know either.
Yep. I'm here pressing buttons trying to make something happen. It's not working. Trying to get some camera going for us. All right. there we go. It's kind of dark here in the car, but I got the camera working.
Yay. This is good.
Yeah. All right. Tara, are you going in or you want me to just go get the medicine?
I'm going.
Okay. So she's going in with me, so yay. I was just going to go grab the medicine for her.
So I take it you're in Lexington?
Yes.
You are in Lexington, Kentucky. So.
Yes.
This will be awesome. Yeah. Actually, podcasting. You are podcasting while transformer hunting at Walmart.
Well, that's not my reason for stopping, but I figured I'll do it while here.
This has got to be a first on a podcast.
It is that I know of. So, anyway, go ahead and continue on with regular discussion. It's going to take a few minutes to get back to the toy department.
Okay.
I got to swing by the medicine department first. Yeah. So, people that are watching the video on this, you can just kind of randomly see me walking through a store as the podcast goes on.
Yeah, and people's probably going to be looking at you weird. Ooh, if you see somebody working the toy department, interview them on the podcast. It's like, sir, can
how do you feel about this toy?
Some old woman. Yeah. It'll be an old woman that doesn't know anything about Transformers.
Yes, that would be awesome. Hopefully you don't drop out on us. But
hopefully not.
We'll kind of, while you're walking.
I'll meet you back up here.
While you're kind of walking back that way, we'll preface our discussion topic for the evening. We're going to be talking about filler lines. Most everybody would probably know what we mean whenever we talk about filler lines in Transformers. Whether you realize it or not, some major lines have been filler lines in Transformers, such as Machine Wars, as we mentioned earlier, and we also mentioned Robots in Disguise. It was sort of a main line. It was actually it was a main line, but it kind of filled the gap between the end of Beast Machines and the beginning of Armada, and was up there for we got some boxes here. What do we have? I'm going to switch over to the video of Insane Galvatron on his phone. Hopefully he doesn't drop out on us, and I think he has
so far. There's just no
I see pallets. I see pallets. I see France. I see someone's underpants. No. Oh, wait, that's...
He's near the women's clothing section.
Yes. He is really lagging out. Hopefully he doesn't drop out on us.
Yeah.
But, there he went.
We just lost him.
Oh, fail. Darn it. Well, hopefully he can rejoin us as soon as he can. But going back to what we were talking about, filler lines. Transformer filler lines have been around since post-Generation 1 era. Do you think there any Generation 1 filler lines honestly. I don't think
G1 filler lines. I don't think there honestly was, other than maybe
European.
I would say European and possibly some of the Japanese ones, because living in the United States, you didn't really get we didn't get anything for like Master Force or anything like that, like cartoon wise. Yeah. But we did get the toys, so we weren't aware that there was actually a cartoon at the time, because the internet didn't exist back then, guys. Think about this. There's no internet.
Yeah.
So you don't know all this stuff. So all you get is like tabloid magazines and some stuff advertised in the back of like a comic book or something like that, dealing with the toys that are coming out. And then you go into, you know, like KB or Toys R Us, or sometimes, you know, Kmart, Walmart, stuff like that way back in the day. And every now and then you'd find something kind of
off the wall.
You'd find like Master Force after, you know, off the wall, totally thing like an
Animorphs.
Like, Animorphs. There you go. But they're not. They're not Transformers.
Even though they say Transformers
they
on
are,
the package.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's really, really weird. One filler line I think that probably was Generation 1 was the little teeny tiny line of I can't remember these guys' name. Something Beast. These little guys?
Beast Formers or something other. What is that?
No, they weren't Beast Formers.
Let me hold that up again. I was trying to reinvite Insane Galvatron to the discussion here. Oh, Battle Beast.
Oh, Beast dudes. Battle Beast. There you go. Okay, because Battle Beast. If a lot of people don't know,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, the video doesn't seem to be working though. Uh oh.
For Generation 1. Battle Beast.
Yeah, I guess so.
Battle Beast is definitely one of them, because there's a lot of these things were gimmick filled. This particular one here I got in my hand. It has like a little crystal in the middle that you would like have light shine through the backside of it, and then you can see there's a little tree branch on the inside of this.
We have video here. We have video. We have Beast Hunters.
What do we got?
The only thing new, there's a hoist and a jazz.
Oh, hoist. I want hoist.
Three Springers. Sharktacon Megatron.
Ooh.
Dockwave. And Grimwing.
Ooh.
And I don't know if you guys could hear me earlier, but right before the call dropped out, when I was looking at those pallets, there was a case of these still on the pallet.
Oh, the ugly big flat thing.
Beast Hunters Voyagers.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hey,
the Beast Hunters
Voyagers.
How
much is that hoist?
Moist is $12.97.
Shoot. I was starting to say I could probably PayPal you right now if you plan on coming up anytime this weekend, and you can bring that with me whenever you come to get
I'm probably going to be up one day this week if you've got the PayPal. Shoot it to me.
I had a few dollars.
If you got it. $12.97 plus 6% sales tax.
Well, let's see here. I'll hold off because I've actually seen him locally.
Okay.
I want him.
It's not the first one I've seen.
That's awesome. That would be awesome just to be able to. Oh, wait a minute. Ripper Snapper. Do they have Ripper Snapper?
I didn't see any. Because I've been looking for him too. I didn't see any Cyberverse. There's like crap. I didn't even look that close.
Dude.
I didn't expect to see anything.
You should totally go to another Walmart.
No, they've got one center. They got one Twin Strike, a couple of arachnids, a couple of Prowls, and a Bumblebee.
Mm.
Surprisingly, Bumblebee is not the shelf warmer there.
You should totally try and go hit the Meyer. Are you in the Hamburg area?
Yes, but I'm going to get home so I can get my actual computer to do this one.
Well, it would be awesome to check out more toys on the podcast. That would be awesome.
Keep cool. Toy hunting on the podcast?
Yes. This is a first. You're breaking ground right now.
Yeah, but my daughter's going to be in the car. Well, my daughter's in the car. She doesn't sign right now because we're coming in to get her medicine, but I'm sure she's not going to be happy just riding in the car. I may hit one more while I'm in here. Maybe I'll go to Target. Target's still open?
Target's probably closed. I think they close at 10, but Meyer's is open 24 hours.
What time is it?
It's
10:09
Eastern time.
Okay. Okay, I'll hit Meyer then.
But, okay. We're shopping at Walmart on TFYLP episode 64.
For the very first time.
This is awesome.
Toy hunt, nothing super productive.
Yes. But I also want to remind people while we are broadcasting live on YouTube, if you have any comments or questions, feel free to mention them in the comments section. I am monitoring it, so if you mention something on the comments, we can actually talk about it while we're here on the podcast. I know there's already been a couple of hilarious comments on or mentions about the live toy hunting on TFYLP here. But going back to the filler lines, I guess we really need to go back to the beginning and define what is a filler line. You have your main line, like recently we've had Transformers Prime. Transformers Prime mm-hmm. is considered the main line. It's the line where the core audience of the Transformers is it's aimed at, which is the, I guess, the 6 to 12-year-old range. Just a rough stab at it. And then the filler line is something that kind of fills it out to make it a more robust line, you know, something on the shelf other than the main line with Transformers on it that is also aimed at collectors or a niche market. For example, the filler line right now would be the Generations line. And as Insane Galvatron just pointed out to us, you know, there's a whole lot of Prime Beast Hunters and Transformers Prime stuff on there. You have your Legends, you have your Deluxe class, you have your Voyager class and your Ultra class, and some places have like a Supreme and Titan class. Then you have usually a Deluxe or a Voyager sized Generations figure as a filler. And the filler line is basically to fill it out. Sometimes a filler line is the main line that's on the shelf, and it is used to bridge between two of the main lines. For example, the universe or the Generations and slash universe line, I guess you could call it, bridged between the movies and the next cartoon or next television series. You know, between Dark of the Moon and Transformers Prime, it was predominantly the Generations line. Plasticon, you want to talk about some of the earlier
Saying, yeah, like one of the filler lines, like we were talking about with the Master Force and stuff like that. You also had the Power Masters. Because those were cartoons that were all, like we were saying, were released in Japan that we didn't even know anything about. So in the United States, it considerably was a filler for them. But across the rest of the planet, everybody else knew about it somehow. It's kind of like, I don't know how we missed out on all of it. But primarily, most of the stuff originated in Japan and migrated to Europe. And Europe got hold of some of the stuff that we didn't even know anything about. And then in the United States, one of the biggest lines that came in as a big filler during Generation 1 was the little Battle Beasts. These guys, like I was saying, this one here's got a crystal in the middle, but most of them had like a little rub sign in the middle, just like any of your G1 Transformer, to tell you what faction it was. So a lot of people don't understand that these guys were actually connected to the Transformers universe because they literally, these little figure guys appeared in the Headmaster, or Target Master series, sorry. Because they had crash-landed there on the planet to help them out and found out that these little Battle Beast guys were being held against their own will, so obviously fought against the Decepticons to free them. So it's a really, really cool story. If any of you guys have never seen it, you should check it out. But it is one of those little filler lines for G1, which is kind of odd because technically not, you know, really a Transformer unless you bought like the play sets.
Well, some of the Generation 2, I guess, Generation 1.5, I guess you could say. I've got the European Constructicons in there in my display case, the Men on Sealed Card mm-hmm. ones. They were the Constructicons in the yellow colors that were released without the combining parts. And they were released primarily in Europe and I believe the UK. I guess UK is technically part of Europe, since they. But
yes, it would be part of Europe.
But Yeah, they were released over there, and I guess they weren't considered G2, but they were around the time that G2 started. So a lot of people call them G1.5. And they were sort of a filler for the European market, but to kind of bridge between Generation 1 and Generation 2. Here in G1, the last few waves of Generation 1 kind of you know, hung around in stores until Generation 2 stuff pretty much started hitting. Of course, the distribution here in the United States is a little bit better than it is in Europe, and much to the probably disagreement of some collectors. But then you also have the example of Machine Wars. Machine Wars came to be because they took some European Transformers that was released overseas, and they brought them over here as a KB Toys exclusive, and I guess some exclusive lines can be considered as filler, which, you know, Machine Wars was given its own name as actually a subline. It was not part of Generation 2. It was not part of Beast Wars, and we've lost Insane Galvatron again. But let me invite him back in here. It was not part of any of the main lines, so technically it would be considered a filler line, even though it was not a widely distributed line, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It was more of a store exclusive. But Machine Wars was European molds, European exclusive molds that was brought to the United States to kind of help fill out the existing Transformer line. You have what looks like Machine Wars Soundwave there. Let me click on you here.
Yep, it's Soundwave.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was in Europe. What was it?
Stalker.
Okay. And then
I actually have him. I don't want to go drag him out because he's actually buried right now on my shelf, but I do have him as well. He came out, he was in a real, like a really, really hot pink color with like a green and then like a kind of a, oh, it's kind of like a purplish color as well.
Yeah.
This is what color it's very, very cool.
Machine Wars came out kind of during Generation 2, right between Generation 2 and I guess Beast Wars. And they a lot of them maintained that funky color scheme. Some of the European Transformers from that era kind of held that too. Machine Wars Optimus Prime was actually Thunderclash, I believe, in the UK.
Correct. He was part of the Turbo Masters line.
And I actually like that toy better as Machine Wars Optimus Prime than I do Thunderclash.
Actually, I'm totally against that toy. The more I look at yours and everything, I'm like, this thing's utter garbage. And it's why,
well, it's got that G1 charm, you know, no articulation. It just got a cool looking truck mode.
That's about the only thing it has going for it. I think the mouth, the head mold, it just does not work for me at all.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't originally Optimus Prime. But that's why I like the first Optimus Prime that didn't have a mouth link.
Yeah. But it's, you know, they hit or miss. Machine Wars lasted, what, probably a year. Wasn't widely popular. Although
it's popular with KB.
Yeah, it was popular with KB. But, I mean, as far as, you know, lasting effects, a lot of people could have cared less about Machine Wars. I know back in the day whenever I was collecting a lot of stuff, I had pretty much the entire Machine Wars line, with the exception, I believe, of Soundwave and Starscream. I couldn't find Starscream anywhere, and now Starscream's pretty easy to find. Starscream was what, Skyquake in the UK?
Yes.
So,
and he also suffered from GPS. Well, the whole line did, but he had more gold plastic on him than any of the other ones.
Skyquake did.
Yeah. Yes. He had a gimmick on the very back. If everybody has a, since I have him handy, it's pretty much the entire back mechanism. Let me transform just this bit here real quick. Live transformation, yes.
Crikey!
This whole entire section here on the very back of him was completely gold plastic.
And the gimmick was... that was on Skyquake from the European release, yeah.
Right, the European one had a gimmick where you would push this thing in, this little targeting lens thing would fold down, you'd be able to look through and see who you were targeting, because you'd have a different jet or... it was only the jets that would actually plug onto the top of it. But the problem was, is when you did that, this gold plastic would shatter. So anybody out there that has one, they tend to never do that to it, including myself. But they all came with gold plastic weapons that had firing spring mechanisms, which were completely nixed from this toy line. Just complete for Machine Wars, they completely got rid of those. Yeah.
Now, just for clarification, you have the Machine Wars Starscream version of that mold, not the Skyquake. We're talking about the Machine Wars Starscream.
I have Skyquake.
Yeah, both. The Machine Wars Starscream does not have the gold plastic syndrome that we are talking about here. But he's just illustrating on the Machine Wars Starscream there. Where the gold plastic would be found on Skyquake, which is the European G1.
It was also located... well, any of the gray that's actually on him was gold plastic. I'm talking about the dark gray. So it kind of almost had like a copperish hue to it, but it was still GPS. Yeah. So keep that in mind for anybody out there that's planning on purchasing a Skyquake. If you get one, be extra delicate with it. But if you want to transform a ton of times, get you a Machine Wars Starscream. It's an excellent toy. Yeah, really is. And it's huge. It's massive.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yes.
Not you.
She said that a number of times. But,
no, I saw those things you had on your head earlier. They weren't that big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm finally leaving the Walmart.
Yes. But we're going to move on from Machine Wars. I believe the next filler line we will probably talk about will highlight Robots in Disguise. Robots in Disguise was actually a main line, but it was not intended originally to be a main line. Hasbro wanted to go directly from Beast Wars, or Beast Machines rather, into... what eventually was going to be Transformers Armada. But the line was not quite ready yet, or I don't recall exactly why it was not wasn't really ready to go yet.
Well, it's got to do with the turnaround time. A two-year turnaround time from toy design to release. And by the time they decided to drop Transtech, and go with Armada, there was also going to be at least a year or a year and a half.
Yes, that's right. Transtech. I totally forgot about Transtech. So, yeah.
They had to cancel Transtech, so they had to wait till, had to have something to fill the gap until they could get the next line ready. And since fans were, emailing stuff about that car robots, they just decided, hey, what the heck, let's just bring that out over here.
Let's see here. Back up a little bit before we get too far into Robots in Disguise. Machine Wars consisted of 14 different figures. So if you want to be a completionist and complete the Machine Wars line, 14 figures is the entire line. So it's not that bad. Not that bad at all.
Let me, if you can, let me plug myself here. I have the entire line.
Not on
line.
The podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, not on podcast, but I did reviews of every single Solitary Machine Wars figure. So if you guys want to check that out, go check me out at Plasticon 1978 on YouTube, and just check out what I did. I did reviews of every single Solitary one in the entire line because I have them all. So that way you guys can actually see a visual of what we're actually talking
about. Let's do one better and make it easier for users to find them. When you get a chance, could you post them to the front page of TF Talk.net? And since they're pertinent,
yes, I can.
Yeah, in the comment section of the live broadcast. So, or better yet, on your forums on tftalk.net's forums, or all of the above. But yeah, the next filler line is Robots in Disguise. Robots in Disguise, as Insane Galvatron mentioned, they had planned on doing a line after Beast Machines called Transtech. And Transtech was basically the Beast forms of the Beast Wars, Beast Machines characters with vehicular alt modes.
The Optimus looked, he was like a tractor trailer, but he had a very gorilla looking front end. Like the front of the truck was like a gorilla face.
And then I believe Cheetor kind of looked like a really speedy race car or something.
He was a lot like Cybertron Blur, except if you can imagine a cheetah face in the front of the car. That seemed to be the theme, was they were vehicles, but they had like beast looking faces on the fronts of the vehicles.
Yes. And Transtech never came to be. They, for whatever reason, they decided to completely scrap that and return to the vehicular forms of the Transformers line and move away from the beast forms. Much to the chagrin of a lot of fans at the time. I know Sideburn 2, he's a huge fan of the Beast Forms. And, you know, I do see the appeal, and the Beast Forms did bring a lot to the Transformers franchise. But for whatever reason, they decided to shift back toward any vehicular forms. And in Japan, Beast Wars, Beast Wars 2, and Beast Wars 2 lines have been going on. Beast Machines did happen in Japan, or at least they released toys. I don't know if they actually had it over there. But somewhere along the line, they came up with the car robots, which, you know, had Fire Convoy, God Magnus, Speed Breaker, Super Mach Alert, and Wild Ride. Those were the main characters.
Yeah, Rail Racer.
JRX, actually, in Japan. Yeah. They brought those over to the United States as Robots in Disguise, which was a...
If I'm not mistaken, the reason car robots even happened in Japan is, apparently the Beast Saga was not that hugely successful over there. And so Transformers was a dying franchise. And it was really kind of the armada that, you know, and the teamwork they started working with Hasbro on that really kind of saved them over there for a while. But R.I.D. was just kind of like the majority of the toy line was just repaints of previous releases with only a handful of new molds. And that was because that was just the most cost efficient thing they could do to get a toy line out because they were sinking.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, even the Unicron trilogy, while it helped with Hasbro support, but I think even that didn't do that great. And it wasn't until Tomy came along and bought Takara out that they really kind of recovered. But yeah, R.I.D. was just like the last grasp of breath from a dying franchise in Japan.
Yeah, that's very true. It's been some 13 years, so it's hard for me to remember all this. I'm glad you guys are on here to remember that. Go ahead.
I was about to say, it explains the reason why we got three different color variants of the Bruticus mold that was released as Ruination. Because that was the one that was the cartoon accurate one. Then you had the one that was an Arctic color, which was kind of like urban camo, pretty much. And then you had the tiger striped ones that reminded me of G.I. Joe.
We actually had four different colors of that toy. Because actually, the one that we got, the mainline release, was not the anime accurate. It was the colors of
August. Right.
Accurate colors.
It was the gray bits that replaced. A lot of the goldish colored bits that was
what
the
was
one
it,
from robots.
And the tank was a different color too.
What was it in Japan?
He was brown there.
Battle Gaia is what his colors were. Well, actually, isn't this the what I've got right here essentially the Battle Gaia colors?
Yes. No. It's not Battle Gaia. There's a difference.
It's a Volga, they call it.
Battle Gaia. Okay, Battle Gaia. Technically, that's an entire line itself that a lot of people aren't really familiar with. That was part of Operation Combination. That was toward the tail end of Generation 1. Okay. They had Battle Gaia. Then you had Battle Guardian, which were basically two repaints of Bruticus and Defensor. And there were slight different colors on the main bots. The other ones had, I would say, the Bruticus was a little closer to the original on the colors, but the Battle Gaia was not.
This would have been the Baldigus colors then, I guess. This right here...
That was the RID color. This is the car robot.
Yeah, the car robot colors.
Yeah, that's the car robot.
Now, this right here is actually a knockoff, a fake, but as you can see, it's got the goldish color to the chest plate and everything. Hello, welcome to Meyer.
if I were home, I could show you the actual Japanese Baldigus, but I'm not, so.
Right. I actually have that KO that you're talking about.
Yes.
That you have. And I also have the original US release there. The differences are pretty striking, especially when you replace the gold with gray. But as for the other two, the Arctic one and the Tiger Stripe one was a Target exclusive and the Arctic one was Walmart exclusive. So those two are a little harder to come by because they're exclusives, but they don't usually go for a crazy amount.
I think
Urban Camo was
actually pretty pricey there at one time.
Right. And then they did the same thing with Fire Convoy. Fire Convoy was released at Target, I believe, as a two-pack with Magnus at one time.
That was Costco.
Okay, Costco. And then I know for a fact that Fire Convoy by himself was released as a yellow fire truck, not a red one, at Walmart.
That was Sam's.
Or Sam. Okay.
And there was an Ultra Magnus that went with it. It wasn't a two-pack, but there was an Ultra Magnus that went with it. It was basically identical to the regular release, but a lot of the dark blue was replaced with gray.
Right. But, I mean, there were differences that they did, but those were kind of fillers. I mean, it really was a big filler line. Because they had a lot of universe stuff that was thrown out there at the same time they had R.I.D. on the shelf. It was kind of odd because it was weird because you would go into the Transformer aisle and it would almost take up an entire aisle, but then you look and it's like two different lines of toys. And then you had a few Armada.
And now we have the toy hunt continues. I digress here a little bit. We'll continue talking about robots in disguise, but we're almost in the toy department here with Insane Galvatron as a video feed shows here, and he's walking up on the Transformers. There's Iron Man.
I'm trying to find the Transformers.
Yeah, it's probably farther on down. Looks like right in here. Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, looks like they've recently restocked or something.
Well, look at this Quickblade Bumblebee. Yeah.
If they have two Ripper Snappers, grab me one. I will PayPal you right now.
Well, look at this. Somebody returned this. It's like not even. It's like the legs aren't even attached anymore.
Yes.
Wow, this whole row is nothing but black bumblebees. Wow. This whole row, nothing but black bumblebee. And then you've got a twin strike, another twin strike, and a black bumblebee, and an Arak. Nice. And then just your standard.
That's crazy.
Cup's still around.
We got a Blitzwing, and Springer, Blitzwing. That's the first time I've actually seen Blasters tapes on the shelf. I got them.
I've seen them. I live up in the Louisville area, and they're pretty common up in here. Or at least they were at one time. You still find a lot of the... what was those in behind there? It looked like they were hidden.
They're just more Cyberverse Commanders. And then more two-pack tapes down there.
Okay.
It's really hard to look and aim the phone at what I'm looking at the same time.
Gotten Prime Beast Hunter stuff.
There's that giant Optimus Prime. And then there's an Optimus, Predaking. It was first, second wave stuff.
Those things right there in the middle, I absolutely hate those things. I understand that they have to advertise toward... they're not even cool to kids. I don't see why.
They're $10. If they would be different, they're like super articulated.
Yeah,
be like
but for $10, you can get an actual figure in draft form, and it's not even that.
Well, this is my thing. I can probably see where the appeal is there, because anybody that can collects robots, and they collect like the jumbo.
Oh my gosh,
Shogun,
is that Dark of the Moon still on the
shelf?
They're
gonna love that, because that's the same thing.
Pan back there, dude. Over to your left, Garden Cyberverse, right there. Yes. Holy crap!
Oh yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's a Dark of the Moon figure.
That reminds me of my Toys R Us here. There's still some Dark of the Moon deluxe figures sitting there. They're trying to sell them for like $12 a piece, and I'm like, I've been to like a dollar store during Christmas time. They're selling for $5 a piece there. Why are you still asking $12 for
this
thing?
This is hilarious. That is.
Okay, nothing else to see here. This is all I've got. It's kind of pathetic.
But it's awesome. The Constructibots. Go back real quick before you leave there. Let's take a quick look at the Constructibots, what they got there. What guys?
Okay.
What interest? That one actually looks kind of cool.
Soundwave.
Wheeljack. I was looking at that at Target the other day.
I'd be half tempted to get the Starscream.
Hmm. I mean, they do seem to have appeal. I mean, they transform. They're kind of like Legos that actually transform. You know.
Yeah, you know, they're not platformers like the. Built to suck. I mean, built to rule.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah, they remind me of. Yeah, they really remind
What's
me of Bionicle.
What's the big set on the bottom there? Is it
well, I like
Prime
them better than
Megatron?
The trio. Oh, that's the Prime and Megatron. Yeah. Yeah, I like these better than the Creo, just for the fact that you can transform them. But they don't look as good. I have to admit, the Creo sets, like in each mode, like I have the Big Prime. He looks really good as a robot and really good as a truck. But it's, you know, like a couple hours build to tear apart one and build the other one.
Yeah.
So it's not really fun.
Yeah, that's why
Iron Man 3 movie figures.
Ooh.
All right, switch cameras. There's the Iron Patriot and the Mark
42. Nice.
They never did release a Mark 7. That's what I'm mad about, because I have all the 6-inch figures, including these from the movies, except the Mark 7, because they never released one in 6-inch.
Hmm.
Ninja Turtles, anyone?
Ooh.
Hey, the Rat King, that's new.
I actually found Leatherhead.
This is this figure without me.
Or Leatherhead, rather. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Leatherhead's been out for a while. Rat King, I didn't realize was out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea that. Ooh, the Cockroach Terminator might be here. He's in the same wave. I'm not going to buy it. I just want to look for it. Not that anybody in our podcast, listens to our podcast, cares about turtle stuff, but hey,
you never know.
Y'all can talk while I look. You don't have to. You don't have to watch.
Hey, we're all part of the same nerdum.
I'm kind of interested to see if there's some there too.
There's a Dog Pound. Several April O'Neils, Shredders. Let's see, unless they got one down here. No, a couple Dog Pounds. Nope, that's the only
unless they're
throwaway
the,
figure I see is Rat King. There's Crossbill. Well, the Crossbill on the back here shows there should be the Cockroach.
Yeah, I have
and
to.
Snakeweed. I've seen Snakeweed before. I think the Rat King and the Cockroach Terminator are the two new ones for this wave. Here's the Rat King. He even comes with a little rat.
Kind of cool. Kind of cool.
I'm kind of half tempted to get just the mouse.
Get it. You know you want to.
It's pretty cool.
All right.
No, I'm not going to get it.
But Robots in Disguise.
All right.
Robots in Disguise. We
I'm
got,
out of here.
It started out as Sakaar Robots in Japan. And they brought it over to the United States as Robots in Disguise, and renamed Fire Convoy and God Magnus and Gigatron. They named him Megatron. Fire Convoy became Optimus Prime, and Ultra Magnus was God Convoy, God Magnus rather. And basically, they kind of stretched the line out. They even brought in molds from Machine Wars, like with the Flip Changer cars, some Generation 2 molds, like the GoBots. GoBots, yeah. the GoBots. They even brought in the G1 Combaticons into the car robots and robots in disguise as the Decepticons. Well, in G2, Laser Rod Prime, they recolored it as the now famous Scourge. I guess that's one of the first instances that we had of Scourge, wasn't it? Robots in disguise. As far as the black version of Prime.
Other than the just the RID and then the G2 Laser Prime. I don't think there was any like other ones that came out that were like fillers that were
Scourge. And then after Robots in Disguise, what came after Robots in Disguise as a filler? Was that, I guess that's about whenever Classics would have been the next filler line, wouldn't it? Or would it have been Universe?
Universe wasn't really a filler, because I would define a filler line as something that...
Lines also would be considered a line that helps... meet out a main line. Like, for example, we've had Transformers Prime, and then we've had filler line as in Generation to help fill it out and make the shelf a little more full with the Transformers product. Slam the door, why don't you?
I got you.
I guess Universe would have been the next filler line, because didn't it kind of bridge between like Cybertron and Energon and Cybertron and stuff like that?
I thought it was out earlier than that. I thought it was on the shelf the same time.
That actually stayed on the shelf then. And we still had some as like store exclusives. But... Universe and Generations, Classics, or Chug, as people like to refer to them. I guess those are the lasting effects on the current state of Transformers collecting. We see those on the shelves today. What's your thoughts on Plasticon on these filler lines? What's your favorite ones?
I think probably my favorite filler line was the Universe line they had with RID, because a lot of those were nostalgia things for me, because it was like, oh my god, this is like a different color of the same toy we got back in the 90s, you know? And then, you know, having like the Bruticus, like a newer Scramble City, and then you had the smaller MicroMaster ones, which a lot of people didn't even know where they came from, because you had the one that was just like, you know, Devastator, but that was actually Six Builder from the Operation Combination line from way back at G1 that most people never saw. And the same thing with the Superion and such. So I was a really big fan of those. I loved the one that was a Defensor that, you know, it looked like Defensor, but technically that was Six Turbo. That entire line itself is phenomenal. I have all of those, and I just absolutely love them. They're some of my favorite lines, because I'm a big combiner geek, but I also like the simple fact that they came up with, let's just go dip into the old molds, recolor them, and then just send them out. And they did fairly well. They really did. The only one that I can say that probably had like the weakest part of the entire line of those combiners was the Superion, because of the GPS dealing with the waste portion, because you had the two little pins that come out that you flip the little jets to. If you weren't careful, you could snap the pin really, really easy. So just some advice to anybody that decides to buy the Universe Superion, just be careful, because it does have slight GPS. It's not extremely bad that it's going to blow up in your hands, but it's still a little brittle.
I've heard it's one of the pegs that one of the figures attaches to in combined mode will break off, so he'll no longer attach. The one that goes on the butt. That's where it's known to break?
No, it's the legs where the jets... The legs? Yeah, both of them.
You know, it was the main line, but do you think the last few years of Generation 1 here in the United States could be considered somewhat of a filler as a bridge gap between the last really major line of Generation One, as far as like the headmasters, the large headmasters, and then they went to pretty much a comic only continuity, and then bridged that over to Generation Two. I mean, there was a brief period of time there where there was literally no cartoon and no television show to back up the toys on the shelf, and the only thing that really was to sell the toys was the comic. You know, the later lines of Generation One, you know, you had the junior headmasters, mm-hmm. the pretenders, the micromasters. Really, they had no presence at all in the original U.S. cartoon outside of, well, I mean, the Japanese had their own cartoons, but
right, but the MicroMaster line, that entire line itself was a zone. Yeah, that's what everybody was. No, it wasn't G2. It was the tail end of G1. It was the last
Victory.
There were some in the Japanese series. Victory had a lot of the MicroMasters. I thought there was some in Victory.
None of them. There were very, very, very little. There was Countdown and then the Rescue Force, and that was it. There was no other ones. You didn't see any of the flying ones, none of the military ones. None of those were in that. Those all were in the One Zone cartoon, and then the TV release, some odd kind of magazine they had in Japan that actually had them all in it. And I know, I want to say it was IDW about 4 years back or so released all those comics in one big bundle type of thing that you could buy, but now I can't find it for the life of me because I want to get it.
Oh, I would be interested in picking that up.
Yeah, but it's really, really obscure to find, but they have them, like all those ones from the MicroMaster line were in that comic book. And well, the Megatron was completely different, and they never made a Megatron toy. That was what was weird.
Well, the MicroMasters were spread out over 2 years. I've been trying to finish up G1, so I've been studying all the toy catalogs. MicroMaster was released in 89 and 90. And 89 was the year that Victory was released, which is why some of the MicroMasters were in Victory. Of course, Japan had some toys that we didn't get because they had a cartoon we didn't have. But as far as that being a filler, I don't really know. I mean, it was the only line at the time. Once the comics ended, the toy line ended, there was like a couple-year gap before G2 started, wasn't there?
No, you had the, remember the, wasn't there a gap? The Tommy Kennedy Generation 1 episodes and brought to you by the
those were
Action Masters.
Yeah, the Action Masters were 1990, and that was the last year of G1. They were the 1990 only had Action Masters and MicroMasters, and the only thing really featured in the comics were the Action Masters. And of course, in 1990, a Victory was already done airing in Japan, so they didn't really have anything except other than, you know, these random comics and things. And then that was it. The 1990 was the last year of G1. So you had all of 1991, there was nothing. And then
I think the toys started hitting on the shelf in 91. That's like with the repainted Generation 1 figures, like the Black Optimus Prime and the White Jazz with the funky colors and the black G2 Sideswipe. I think that's when we got those figures around the 91-ish.
Yeah, it was a lot of G1s. It was a bunch of G1 figures that were repainted in garish colors, and some people liked them, some people didn't. I just find it funny that Inferno didn't get anything done to his mold. All they did was give him this silly little water cannon.
Yeah.
Even the stickers for him weren't even changed. That was what I thought was
But the Generation 2 really kicked in with the original molds, I think, that came around 92, 93.
If anything,
well,
G2
we kind of mentioned that earlier in the podcast.
Sort of.
I mean, what I had cut out.
They kind of were, but they kind of weren't because there was actually a magazine that was released in the United States. It was Generation 2 that supported.
Well, there was a Generation 2.
But cartoon-wise, there was a
cartoon which was brought to you by the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube. But yeah, I guess
Space Cube.
Generation 2 was sort of a filler line, but it really fits the definition of a mainline. I think the last year or two of Generation could classify as a filler line because it kind of bridged between the last major lines or major releases in Generation 1, which were like the Headmasters and the Power Masters, and then you had some fillers. They brought over the Micromasters and the Pretenders from the Japanese series that was kind of failing over there, which led up to the Brave series. We'll talk about that in a future episode. Let's fast forward back to today, the filler lines that we have. Generations. We're right now between Transformers Prime Beast Hunters is over, and we're seeing the last of the Beast Hunters Predacons Rising figures hit the shelves. And do we even know what the next line will be? Will it be the movie line? The Transformers 4?
Yes.
I would assume it was possibly going to be the movie line because you think about the way they're releasing them now. These are all tied in with the cartoon movie that's coming out. I could possibly see them dragging the IDW characters they're giving us. So I can see probably it will become the movie line next, and we're probably going to get Generation figures the same time. But Beast Hunters is probably going to die off.
Yeah, well, my understanding is Beast Hunters is supposed to run all the way up until the movie line hits. Because remember, they're trying out that thing where they're going to upscale the Legends as they make those deluxes.
Right.
That's what we got to look forward to in Beast Hunters still. And that's what's going to run up until the movie starts. And then Beast Hunters will end when the movie line starts.
So in
and
essence,
Generations will continue on.
Yeah, so in life. Essence, the tail, I guess kind of what we were just talking about in Generation 1, like the last couple years of Generation 1 was a filler between, the tail end of G1 and G2. So we're going to have like the IDW Generations and these, scaled up versions of the small figures kind of to fill out the line until the movie hits. And so I guess whatever we see on the shelf now will be a filler until the movie hits, is what you're saying. Is that right?
Depends
on how you
Well, it, it is the main yeah. line, but
I mean,
I got to figure.
Be the main line because that's the current cartoon.
They're stretching it out. Yeah, now that the main line is,
they're
we're getting a lot
out.
Of non-show characters.
The show
like the Transformers Go toys, like the Skystalker and all that. Things that we didn't see in Transformers Prime.
Right, but there is
here,
a cartoon
a
supporting
line.
That
using
in Japan.
Those molds to fill out, I guess Beast Hunters is more of a filler.
Right.
Well, you had Transformers Prime ended, and then Beast Hunters kind of come in as a filler line. Well, no, you got the Beast Hunters, and then after that, you have Beast Hunters Predacon Rising, because
and the Predacon Rising is tied in with the cartoon.
Yeah, the Predacons Rising stuff would be considered more.
Yeah,
of a filler line than anything else because you got the one DVD release and then whatever toys they release under that banner, but you got your Skystalkers and your Ripclaws and stuff like that under Beast Hunters. That's more or less the Transformers Go toys brought over here to the U.S. and used as filler to kind of fill out the line to keep it going until the movie line. And I think that's originally what the Generations and the Universe toy lines were created to do, is to just make the Transformers brand more robust and help fill the pegs while the main line is going strong, and also to kind of bridge that gap between one line and the next. And if you notice, the Generations line is generally aimed more to the collector type market, because that's another one of the last points I want to bring up is that Hasbro a number of years ago, you know, they really didn't have much as far as the collector's market aimed at in the toys. And then I guess is wrong along around about 2001, 2002, I guess, they started coming out with the commemorative reissues at Toys R Us. And that's also one of the last filler lines I want to talk about is the commemorative reissues. They're aimed at a collector market, which is the older collectors, such as most of our listener base here. Hasbro started paying attention to this little niche that we're in, and even today, you know, you got the Generations figures, which are a lot of the classic toys or classic characters reimagined, you know, for today's market, like the hoist that I almost had in St. Galvatron by a while ago, you know, more thoughts on that, either of you guys?
Well, I
love the reissues.
I think it's an awesome idea because, you know, you kind of already hooked most of your collector market when you did all these reimagined-ish ones, give them all this crazy articulation with the classics and universe line. But now when you go into IDW and you look and you've got like an actual comic book, then you've got the actual toy that goes with the comic book. And it's like, look, this is direct going towards somebody that's a collector more or less than a kid, because most kids don't really care about a comic book. Like most, like newer generation kids, they don't really look at comic books, more or less they look at cartoons and like video games and such. So when they see a figure, they really don't understand it. But if they see a figure like Thundercracker that they've played in, like in the Transformers game, it's like, oh, I know that character. And then the comic book's almost a bonus to them. But I like the idea that they're doing this. I really do.
I'm hoping that the idea of it putting the pack in comics is, like you said, to get kids who aren't even aware of the comics, or because I mean, kids don't go to comic shops like they used to. I mean, you go to comic shops, you hardly ever see a kid in there. It's almost always guys our age. So my hope is that the comic book pack-ins will introduce a bunch of kids to the comics, and they'll read them. Hey, this is a fun read. I need to find out if I can get more of these, and then expand the comics into the kids. Because let's face it, the comic books, if they can't start getting kids to reading them, I mean, eventually we're going to get to the age where, you know, we're going to maybe grow out of them, quit reading them, or, you know, for whatever reason, you know, as fandoms get older, more people drop out. I mean, you don't see too many 70-year-olds in fandoms.
Yeah, it all boils down to demographics. They've got to hook the kids.
Yeah, if they don't hook the kids into these comics, then eventually the comic industry for Transformers is going to die. So I think that's a great idea, this pack-ins, especially now that they have some good comics. I think they tried it once before with when Dreamwave had it, but those comics kind of sucked. They weren't really fun to read. But so far, the ones I've read and a couple figures I've picked up, Orion Pax and Thundercracker, they were really good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed those comics profusely. So I could see kids liking those too.
Yeah, I mean, sorry. Well, to me, when I bought those, like when I got the entire lot from BBTS, to me, it's like, look, I bought the comic book because I didn't have those comic books. But the toy to me is a bonus because I like the comics. Yeah, I really I'll do enjoy the back comics. And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to miss the boat. We lost in St. Galvatron again. but to me, it's like, you know, it's a great way to segue comic books into the children nowadays. They're not aware of it, then they're not going to buy it. And then, you know, it's like, okay, cool. I can get these comic books that go to it. Where do I get more of them? Do I look online for them? Most of the time, that's what people do nowadays. You know, I mean, unless you have local comic shops like I do living here in Orlando, you're really not going to be able to get them. I mean, if you're living out in the middle of, like, nowhere, like in, like, you know, Texas or Illinois or whatever, that you don't have access to something like that, that's like, look, online is probably going to be the best bet.
Yeah,
you can get them digitally, but it's nice to actually get a paper copy, because you get a paper copy, say, I mean, you run out of life on your phone or whatever, it's like, look, I can't
lean
read
more
my comic
toward
book.
A if I do read a comic, I like the paper copy. Even
it's pretty nice.
If not an actual comic, I like to have the graphic novel version. I mean, I've got probably, what have I got here?
Yeah, that's the way I am. I prefer the individual issues over the trade.
Generation 2009
book. Because the trade is so thick, you can like break that spine just a bit, open the page.
But yeah, I've got a bunch
of
trades here. I've got the Target 2006, Time Wars, Primal Scream, Matrix Quest, All Fall Down, End of the Road, Spotlight Shockwave, and All Hail Megatron here. And then I've got the Last Stand of the Wreckers upstairs right now that I'm reading from IDW Comics. And whenever I do read comics, I prefer to either read the actual comic book or the trades, as opposed to like the digital version of one. I mean, digital is convenient and everything, and you know, once you don't have to worry about fussing with the pages and or ripping or bending a page, but there's just something about the tactile feel of turning the page to see what the next panel is, for me. But I digress.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. I mean, because, you know, us being, you know, around the age we are, we're used to, you know, back when we were kids, we went into a store, you know, they used to have a magazine rack that had comic books, and you just go and grab your comic book right there, you know. But nowadays, it's few.
If I'm going into a Publix,
I'm going
to get
something like
a
Publix or something like that. You got a whole section full of them in magazines, but very few comic books. Right. But, I mean, those people there to get food. But, I mean, you do have, like, the big magazine area, but it's lacking comic books. You know, but you know, it's like, oh, okay. You know, all these artists, I mean, incredible artists that are doing this beautiful work, but it's all digital. And you think about it, what happens to that digital work over time? And it tends to degrade. It tends to go away. Sometimes people, you can't find it anymore because it's gone. And that's the problem. And I mean, I myself being into the film business and all this kind of such, there's a lot of times it's like, look, I would much rather have like physical film in my hand than a hard drive that could crash. So to me, it's like, look, if you're going to be collecting comic books, do it both ways. Get the convenient app and get the comic book, but also buy the paperback, because honestly, what you're doing is you're buying a piece of art from the guys that are out there that are putting these out. I mean, you got a lot of people that don't understand how much time goes into drawing this stuff up. Yeah, some of the stuff's done with computer now, but you think about the way it was back when cell animation was. These artists aren't getting paid a whole lot of money. So keep that in mind, guys.
Yeah,
when you do
definitely
purchase comic books, you're actually giving an artist their money.
Well, so, you know, going back to the toys and the filler lines, though, I think it's a good idea that they're packing in these comics to try to bring in. I mean, they're clearly aiming at the collector market with the Generations figures, you know, and bringing in the classic figures or classic characters rather, but also, you know, adding in the pack-in comic is not only a bonus for the collector, but also an added enticement for the younger kid or younger collector to help bring them in more to the line and to the brand. You know, so much is said about the collector market, and we constantly seem to forget that the Transformers brand, it would die if it wasn't for children. And, you know, the brand is not for us specifically. We enjoy it. We enjoy it, different aspects of it. And there's many characters that we'd love to have. I mean, if it wasn't for the collector market, we wouldn't have Masterpiece Soundwave. You know, we wouldn't have these awesome third-party figures and Quadruple U. But if it wasn't for kids, and buying these toys, then we wouldn't have the Transformers brand continuing, because the collector market just isn't a big enough niche to help keep it going. You know, you got to have the kids.
You know, that's what we heard. And I think years ago that was probably true back when Hasbro told us that at a BotCon. Back, like, especially pre-movie. But it seems to me that, I don't know, I mean, like, you get figures that are aimed at collectors and they can't keep them on the shelf. I mean, the Generation stuff seems to sell as quick as it comes in.
Well, you know, yeah, it's grown because of the movies that brought people now back into the franchise.
I think we're a bigger
A lot of people that, you know, a lot of your long-time collectors, like the three of us, have been back into Transformers for over a decade. You know, I mean, I know I got back into it in early 2000. You know, well, yeah. So, you know, I got out of collecting around 1990, around the time the Action Masters started hitting the shelves was the last time I bought a toy for myself as a kid, you know, or had a parent buy one for me. And then I didn't buy another toy or another Transformer until I was an adult collector in early 2000. You know, Beast Wars was still on the shelf and they were switching over to Beast Machines. And, you know, I've been around since then. I've been a hardcore collector since then. And, you know, not every collector that's out there now are like us. You know, some of them, you know, they had totally forgotten about the Transformers franchise or really didn't care about it until the movies hit. And now we got two Gregs in here, which is weird. Yes.
Yeah, because I'm signing on my computer and I'm getting off on my phone.
Oh, hey, I can do that too. I've got my webcam and I've got my
Camera angles. Woo-hoo-hoo!
But
okay, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of the newer collectors I've seen, they've been brought in through the movies. You know, they see these awesome movies on the big screen and they're like, hey, I remember that. Those things are really awesome. I wonder if they still have the toys. And then they get back in here and see what we as collectors have seen for a number of years and see that there's a rich, rich toy line and a lot of collectors out there, and there's a lot of money to be spent, quite frankly. I mean,
My whole thing is, like, look, if it wasn't for children, we wouldn't have this toy line. And if it wasn't for dedicated collectors and those who are enthusiasts of large robots and crazy transformations and just all this silly science fiction stuff, if it wasn't for us adults to actually keep funding it, then we wouldn't have it still. So I'm highly thankful for everything that Hasbro and Takara has done. Although some people don't really like some of the stuff they've done in the past, but you know what? You have to look past that, and you have to think they are a business. They have to make their money. But this fandom is what keeps the fuel going. So keep that in mind, guys, when you're purchasing toys.
Bueller. Oh, yeah. What have we got here? What was Bueller. It you showed there? Was Bueller. It like the big 10-pack?
That thing is awesome, by the way.
Oh.
That is a bunch of mini-cons, all in a big box.
Yeah, you guys were
set.
Actually talking about,
like,
that on last week's podcast.
I want to say
there's
like 16 of them in that one little box, and they're all like individual.
Yeah, he's breaking out the
very
toys.
Very interesting. It's very, very cool. Uh-oh.
Yeah, now that I'm home, I can show off some stuff. I actually forgot something that I got this week. It just came yesterday. I picked up the Kmart exclusive Minicon 12-pack.
Yeah, that thing is so cool.
A lot of people are trying to sell these things for 50, 60, 70, 80 bucks on eBay. Don't buy on those. Wait for one to go up for like 10 bucks starting bid.
Yeah.
I got this thing for 22 bucks shipped for 12 Minicons. It's less than $3 a piece.
Yeah.
Actually, it's less than $2 a piece.
Ruination.
My $50 ruination. Well, there's a funny story I hadn't told on that, in regards to that yet. See this whirl? Now, I still got to take some, I still got to take some rubbing alcohol and get rid of this purple. And I'm probably going to get rid of some of this painted on orange. It's a little too much orange. You may notice anything unusual about this whirl. Yes, he's light blue. I had actually bought an extra G2 Bruticus just because I wanted to make Whirl light blue, because Whirl is supposed to be light blue. Because the G1 Whirl is light blue with some black and yellow. Like, I think his propeller's yellow. Everything else is blue and black. The one we got is actually, because the color scheme on this is based on the RID Ruination, so the Whirl is dark blue with orange. They put a little light blue, like on his windows and stuff. So I bought an extra G2 Bruticus when they were on sale because the Vortex was light blue. And then I got an extra Whirl. So I actually had bought another Whirl back before Shardicon. Mm-hmm. And I just got around doing this the other night. I opened up the G2 Bruticus, the extra one I had, and part swapped. So now my Vortex, I still need to remove the orange. But I never thought Vortex looked good in red because the original was gray. This is as close as we're going to get to a gray Vortex as far as without painting one. I just took the Whirl, swapped out the orange for the purple that was on the G2 Vortex. So it gave me a Vortex closer to G1 colors.
He's
dark blue instead of gray, but you know, it's purple. Just got to remove the orange. No, it's still brown. That's what I'm saying. They went with game accurate colors on those. He's like that mustard yellow. There is no gray version of Vortex. That's why I've got the...
It's like a gold...
Yeah, that's why I've got the brown. If you notice, that is the Takara Generations Blastoff. So he would at least be brown like G1 Blastoff. So I've got the closest to G1 colors Bruticus you could possibly get right now without doing a repaint yourself. Just piecing together different parts from different versions and Vortex, obviously having been disassembled, reassembled different parts.
Okay, question. Have you pre-ordered the upgrade kit that one guy has where it's all the trailer that breaks off that combines with him to make him more filled out?
Not really, because I think I've used alternate transformations for the arms. I'd like to go back to the regular transformations, but he has gorilla arms because the torso is too small. Mm-hmm. There's a third-party Voyager-sized Onslaught being released. I'm going to wait until that comes out because I would rather get that. And if that upgrade kit will work with this guy with the bigger Onslaught, then I'll pick it up. But if it's not compatible with the bigger Onslaught, then no, because I would rather have the Voyager, you know, torso member than all those add-on parts.
Yeah, I actually pre-ordered the upgrade kit for it because I'm a big fan of that mold. I love that mold. There's a lot of people that complain about it, and I think it's the best combiner they've come out with, like in the past at least 6 to 7 years, because it's great.
Oh, it's
you do everything you want with it, and it doesn't fall apart. It's just a great toy.
I think
a lot
of
people
awesome
give a lot of flack to this because, and it does have its, you know, its problems. It's not perfect, but the way I put the weapons in the back, you know, it kind of feels in the back, so it's not so hollow looking.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's nearly as bad as people make it out to be, other than the torso's too small. A lot of people give this a lot of flack. Like you said, it's the best thing in 6-7 years. Well, the last time we got 5-part combiners was Energon.
Yeah.
This definitely blows those out of the water. RID had some cool combiners, but none of the, you know, Scramble City type. Other than Ruination. So the only thing you had Scramble City type combiners was the G1. This is the first one since G1 besides Energon. And honestly, I don't know, we got the nostalgia for the G1. But if you look at them just as the toys, if you get your mind off the cartoon comic book appearances and just look at it as a toy, this is better than the G1 combiners. Yes. Just simply because, I mean, it's more articulated, it's bigger, it's beefier. It just looks more imposing
on
the shelf.
Whenever,
because the G1
generation
ones,
one,
I mean,
if we had got that toy whenever, in generation one, five deluxes that combined together, wow. I mean, I wouldn't have known how to act as a kid.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got Predaking here. Now, Predaking is probably just as big as imposing. He's not as articulate. He probably is. He might be the one that the G1 that's better, but I don't know if I really call him Scramble City because you can't really mix up the arms and legs. You take any of these Scramble Cities you want combiners. Minasaur, much as I love him, he's basically a box with cars attached. Abominus.
He's one of my favorites.
I've never been a big fan of Abominus. He looks freaky to me.
I love him. That's why I love Abominus. He's freaky looking.
Favorite.
He's just awesome.
He's my least favorite. But I got to say, even as awesome as he is, he may look the best. in the combined mode, I still think this Fall Cybertron Bruticus, once you get the color sorted out, I think he looks better even than that.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. But, you know, opinions like buttholes. Everybody has one. Most of them stink.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And a lot of people, like, the ones that are complaining about it are the ones that are like, oh, my God, it's hollow. It feels like flimsy knockoff plastic. Honestly, it doesn't. Because if you look at that and you pick that toy up and you look at the older ones,
well,
the older ones had just as much hollowness. So you got to think. You got a combiner bit.
I do think the newer toys have a little bit thinner plastic.
Well,
there might be the same
amount
of
hollowness,
but I do believe there is some thinner plastic used today. No.
Well, and I don't think the hollowness is as big a problem as people make it out to be. Like, Swindle's the worst offender. Everybody talks about how in its individual robot mode he's hollow in the back. But look at him in the combined mode. He's pretty solid. And that's why, I mean, you've got everything has to fold up into the shape of a car, and then all those robot parts have to come out. I mean, we don't have a transdimensional portal to store extra mass. I mean, those arms and legs and heads and things have to go somewhere. So naturally, when you pull all those things out, there's going to be empty places where they were. Mm-hmm. I think people just have unrealistic expectations from their toys if they complain about this guy being hollow. Because, like I said, even Onslaught in combined mode, in his individual mode, his back's a little hollow, but when you combine him and you put the guns back like you're supposed to, it fills him out pretty good.
And that's the thing. Well, everybody, I honestly think where a lot of the flack's coming from, and I said this before on one of our previous casts, it's the guys that are buying third party. Nothing against third party. Love third party. But think about it. You are paying, like literally for a robot this size here, about $100. That's not a very big robot for $100.
Yeah, but you got to consider that the third party figures are
exactly
there's a lower production run of third party figures. They're generally more intricate and more detailed than you would get on a mass release toy. That and you know, for people that knock third party toys for being
right.
I mean, it's like Weird Wolf or Quadruple U. He's basically a large deluxe. He's a large deluxe, and he's like $70. Okay, but look at the detail that is on this thing. You just don't see this level of detail on him on a Walmart toy, and the paint apps, yeah, special paint apps and everything. You don't
all the paint apps, the parts count.
All right. But there's another thing, though. Those third-party companies, they don't have to go through all the stuff that Hasbro and Takara do. When Hasbro and Takara have to release this toy has to be a toy that a child can play with at 4 years old all the way up to whenever. That toy that you have that you buy that's from a third-party company, you can't usually give that to a four-year-old without something getting broke.
Age 16 up. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's why. And that's the thing. I mean, everybody wants to give Hasbro flack, but it's like, look, guys, Hasbro is gearing this toward children first, then adult collectors. Doesn't matter if it's a collector's item. Doesn't matter if it's a masterpiece. It's still got to pass every one of those little bitty.
It's a whole different ball of yarn.
They can put it on the market.
It's
so,
a whole different ball of yarn.
I know
people
want to complain about that.
There are good points and bad points whenever you argue between official product and third party product. Third party product caters to a totally centered audience, like I just pointed out on the quadruple U package, it's aimed to the collector market, the ages 16 and up. You know, these toys are not meant for children; they are meant for adults like you and I. They are they don't have to pass the laws that you know, like Fall of Cybertron Grimlock here. You know, this right here. If you made a third-party version of this guy, he would, like, bend in every particular way and shoot flames out his ass. But, he would be, you know...
And he wouldn't have
super
a hollow
articulated,
chest and
super detailed.
No.
Good example is like, the T-Bone. I mean, look how small this figure is. It is little It's like a little bit bigger than a Cyberverse Commander, but the detail on this guy and the intricacy. I mean, the intricacy on these guys here are what you would expect from almost an alternator or a almost masterpiece intricacy on these guys. And you just generally don't. I mean, yeah, once in a while you'll have that one figure that is released, mass release by Hasbro or Takara, that you're like, wow, I can't believe they got that much value into that small a price point. And once in a while you'll get that, but it's a rare, rare occasion.
Right.
Well, I know we kind of went on a rabbit trail here talking about third party. That was not the subject matter. And I kind of led this distraction by pulling out toys after I got home. But there's the best part of the story I did not tell, and I know there's going to be a lot of fan rage over this. But when I opened that G2 Bruticus so that I could take the Vortex and swap out the parts, the other four Ruination members, obviously, I mean, I kept all of them, but I kept the extra Whirl to make my other Vortex. So the other four, I took the other four G2 Combaticons and put them back in the Wrecker packaging. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to return him to the store. So I'm being a toy swapper, but at least I'm swapping an equal product. It's just different colors. But hey, somebody will rage when they walk into a store and see, those aren't the Wreckers, but then
actually,
they're going to realize, wait a minute, these are the G2, though.
To this podcast, and they hear this, and they go and they chase us down, and they want to know who, you know, did that.
I wouldn't deny it. If somebody ever posted
that
it online,
was,
I'd
be the same Galvatron from
I would have admitted it on the board. If somebody's like, look what I found. I'd have been like, that was me. But hey, you know, but the thing is, you can't actually buy the G2 Bruticus members individually. So I may be doing somebody a favor if they just want one of those. You know, they could walk into that store and be like, hey, there's the G2 Swindle.
Lexington, there's going to be that Kentucky one area. Listener that's going to be like, I want to know where you're doing this because I want it. And they're probably just going to meet you in the parking lot with cash in hand. Dude, just give me it.
That works. I could, yeah. I could take cash for them.
But, yeah, I mean, you got to think about when that toy was released and designed. That right there was during when the economy was kind of – so you have to think about that. Just think about that. I mean – how much articulation and stuff they fit into those toys to give those to us during a time when our economy is kind of garbage.
Well, you know,
so we really can't complain at all.
They are awesome. I love them.
And the more I fiddle with them, you know, they're not as bad as people
say.
Before
we wrap up here,
things are so
I know
cool.
We've talked about we've had a really good discussion about filler lines and what they are and what can be defined as one and some good examples of them. We've talked a lot about good stuff. Yeah, a lot of great filler toys. But let's talk a little about a bit about some stuff that's in the news. Most notably, yeah, filler toy. Most notably, I think the biggest news that we've gotten
filler toy,
in
yes.
the past week or so,
little
since the last podcast. Has been the announcement of Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. Basically, the MP10 mold in white with a completely new trailer that will form Ultra G1 Ultra Magnus armor for him. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm totally jazzed about that. Not jazzed about the $200-some-odd price point, but I'm hoping that we get a U.S. release of this guy.
Is that just the Takara version,
really,
or is that going to be a Hasbro
release? Yeah, I'm really hoping that there will be a Hasbro release.
Yeah, there's been no announcement for the Hasbro yet. I'm not taking a chance. I'm pre-ordering the Takara one just in case. This is when the news broke. I had to change my pants like twice. Because I'm a huge Ultra Magnus fan. I love the G1 toy. Love the character. And I've been wanting a proper G1 Master Piece Ultra Magnus for a long time. That's MPO2 just didn't cut
it. Got,
so, yeah, I was really excited.
I know BBTS has got their pre-order up for $279.99, almost $300. I would imagine that the pre-order price will go down a bit. I kind of see it around the $250 mark for the Takara version.
Well, it dropped because when it first went up, I pre-ordered. I got the email. For some reason, BBTS emails me any new Transformers pre-orders that go up for third party or Masterpiece. I guess because that's mostly what I buy from them. And I got the email that it was up, and I just clicked it, pre-ordered it immediately, and it was $289. And then, like an hour or two later, I got the email notification that the price had dropped $10, and so they dropped my pre-order price. I don't know if it'll drop any more or not, but it did drop to $10. But just really, that's only $20 more
so.
Than the original.
I kind of see that being
when he was
the
released
mark.
To Carlin, wasn't he $259? Yeah, so I mean, the engineering's already done on the convoy on the cab, but you're talking about a much more complex trailer than what MP10 came with. So I think just a $20 markup isn't that bad.
The toy, I mean, I looked at like the pictures they put up, and it kind of almost looks like protector armor.
That's a mashup. That's actually a
because if you look at it, I mean, it looks like
of some parts,
bits and pieces of the trailer is going
to
have to come apart.
Visualization of what their idea is.
Well, that picture actually came from when MP10 was released. One of the designers, the car designers, actually tweeted that picture just to show that when he designed the MP10 cab, that was an idea he was toying with, was making a trailer later. And it's actually a G1 Ultra Magnus trailer he cut up and just kind of taped on there and took that picture.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's not going to be the trailer he comes with. That's an actual
G1
Prowl trailer.
Has been hitting all the major outlets and everything, so he's... Yeah, he's actually hit. I'm looking at CapturedPrey.com right now, and he is in stock for $78. That's a really awesome price. You know, whenever I went to Downforce a while ago, I almost passed on Downforce to get Masterpiece Prowl, but I figure I went ahead and got Downforce instead because I'm kind of hoping that there will be a U.S. release of these guys. Even if they don't,
I would absolutely love them to just do this. Release all three in one pack. Why can't you do that? Because they're not very big.
Well, I mean, the Sideswipe mold, there was those high quality knockoffs that came out. They got as low as like $35 shipped on eBay. So if you think, yeah, if you see, you know, $70, $80 is too high, you can always pick that up. I don't know that they're not made from the same tooling because I have the Sideswipe knockoff. It is fantastic. I mean, I have the real one too. But now I could see like Soundwave came over, Prime came over. I could even maybe see Ultra Magnus coming over. But I really doubt we'll see any of the Lamborghini mold or the Datsun mold just because of the fact that they're licensed. Yeah, I don't know that Hasbro will jump through the hoops to get the necessary licensing from those car companies to release them here. So I think especially on the licensed cars, I'm definitely grabbing Takara, especially since, I mean, yeah, $80 may be a lot for, you know, a toy that size. But when you look at, okay, what was Masterpiece Prime's U.S. release was $120, it still costs less than Prime's U.S. release to get the Takara. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get past the fact that it's a much smaller toy. To me, it's just, it'd be different if it was like for Magnus, nearly $300. I can see you thinking that's too steep. Maybe you can't work that into your budget. You hope for U.S. release to be cheaper. But if that's your, like I said, if that's your case, you know, Prowl's already cheaper than the U.S. release of Prime. If you can afford a U.S. Prime or U.S. Soundwave, you can afford.
Well, I figure,
waiting for U.S. release. It never happens.
The Intimidator bots out of the way. And then, you know, if I can come up with $70 or $80 here in the next month or two, actually, Prowl is, I want Prowl's Blue Streak and Smokescreen, but if I had to choose out of those three molds, I think I'd want Smokescreen the most, because I liked his color scheme the best. And believe it or not, I think I like Blue Streak's color scheme better than Prowl's. So,
Blue Streak would be my favorite.
I would, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if eHobby takes those masterpieces, because, you know, they've done stuff like this in the past, yeah, and like literally releases a blue streak from the Diaclone line of that.
I would pick that up. I don't think it'll necessarily have to be eHobby, though. I mean, look, you know, Takara with the Sideswipe gave us the Tiger Track, which was the Diaclone colors, the yellow, and they're giving us the G2 Sideswipe. I mean, those are the obscure things you would normally expect from eHobby, and Takara's doing it themselves. So I wouldn't be surprised if after Smokescreen is
and
released,
who knows,
we don't see
the
pre-order.
The Collector's Club,
you know,
may come through and start offering masterpieces.
Would not surprise me at all.
Instead of having the licensed toys, you know, come out in Toys R Us or Walmart or what have you, release them through the club. You know, I don't see why the club doesn't do that. I know, but they'd be coming over in far fewer
numbers. You get into the licensing issue again. They're selling it in the U.S. They have a license from car companies.
I don't know how that works. I really don't know.
I wonder how that works.
I would imagine.
I'm wondering, is the fee based on quality of toys sold, or is it just a flat fee and then sell as many as you can?
Yeah.
I always imagined it was flat fee. That like they would have to pay X thousands of dollars for the license. So therefore you'd want to release as many toys as possible to spread that cost out further. But if it's a per toy release, toy issue, then
another big announcement, and this might help some people's wallets. The Masterpiece Starscream, the MP11 mold, the Coronation Starscream is getting the Asian release reissue. So I think the price point on that's around $200.
No, it was originally $259.
I thought it was $199.
Is it $279 now? No, it's $299.
Yeah.
Because I remember it's $40 more than the original price.
Yeah.
$199.
But still,
it was
that sure beats $300.
Yeah, it's $40 more than the first time it came out.
On the aftermarket. And
yes, I figured because when that toy came out, I didn't buy it because I was going to wait for clearance, because I thought at $159 when it came out, it was the most expensive masterpiece to date at that point. It's MP11. I guess it was after Prime, but I mean, you look at how much smaller that toy is. I'm like, it should not be $159, especially since the first release was under $100 for the MP03, and I think Thundercracker, Skywarp, they were all under $100. Or around about $100. So I thought $160 is ridiculous. It'll not sell. It'll go on clearance. Then I'll buy it. It's sold out. So the way I look at it, $199 is now the cheapest it's available. Yeah. I look at it, I just made a $40 mistake.
Also, by trying to wait, third party so new release release news. Captured Prey has the Toy World Brainwave, which is the third party Brainstorm. I'm not exactly keen on this version of it. It's like a really blocky X-Wing from Star Wars. I kind of want the Fans Project version, Smart Robin, more. But Brainwave is up for... they're actually in stock now at Captured Prey for $99, as well as the Mugen Scope and the Micro Robo Micro Change version color of it, $72 a piece. It's the third-party version of Perceptor. They've actually started hitting here in the last couple weeks, and I want the Perceptor. I didn't want it as much until I started reading The Last Stand of the Wreckers, and this version of Perceptor is almost dead on from that version of the character. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that Last Stand of the Wreckers making you want the toy. Because I also just recently read Last Stand of the Wreckers, but I read it digitally. I did not want. I didn't really want this Wreckers combiners until I found out it was the RID colors. But then that's when I wanted it. Well, now that I have it, I had no desire for
Iron Fist. I'm surprised you don't want Mech
until
Ideas,
I read
Apex
Last Stand of the Wreckers
because they're
and,
almost
you know,
dead.
Iron Fist was a central character in that comic. Yeah, but there's a top spin and twin twist on this guy here. I now have a top spin. They're not as good as those, but it's a top spin and a twin twist. The only reason I want
Physotron.
The only reason I want Physotron is because I love this toy. I love this mold. I only wanted this because it's an RID colors. The fact that they kind of retconned it and made it the Wreckers as well. That's the only reason I want the Physitron, because it's made to work with this. That's the only reason I want it. I mean, and it's because of reading Last Stand of the Wreckers. Maybe like the character enough to want to
work
with
lastly,
this.
As far as
I don't want any other versions of those Wreckers.
It's not a new release, but it's a new restock. And if I had $400 laying around, I would totally drop it on this thing because it is flipping awesome. The Planet X Project Genesis, the third party Omega Supreme, is back in stock at Captured Prey for $355. You balk at that price, but if you saw the size of this thing in person, I mean, it is enormous. I mean, these boxes back here for like the Death Gary gun right here, that's a rather large box. It's probably twice that size. And it's got electronics.
Yeah, it's the price is actually very reasonable for the size. When you look at the green giant was $355. The Minotaur that's coming out with the same size as giant is $360. You know, once you buy each piece individually,
and
so
it
I mean,
is
it's around that same price.
Figure.
And that Project X Genesis
figure.
Omega Supreme is bigger. Than those combined.
Yeah, those are
so
in stock.
Definitely a good
and of course, you know, quadruple U has been starting to hit everywhere. You know, Captured Prey's got their stock in now, and I know they're shipping. I believe that's it as far as new release third party stuff. Have any of you guys got any? Did you guys mention the $80 Costco Metroplex last week? Yes, Costco. If you have a Costco membership and are near a Costco, and you are in the market for a Generations Metroplex, they have them for $80. Newsflash. there is a Costco 20 miles from where I live.
I don't have a Costco membership. I don't even know where the nearest Costco is.
There's a Costco right.
Yeah.
Like not even like three blocks from where I live.
Yeah, and I paid $108 for that toy when BBTS had it. I think that was their original pre-order price. So it would have been nice to have saved another $28. Would have helped absorb some of that $40 I went to pay for Starscream.
Yeah.
It's already been my pile of loot since release.
It's
the 1st of August, so it's too late to grab the Costco version now.
No,
is there like any major difference between that one and
you know, whatever it is everywhere else? $125, you know. Yeah.
$125.
I didn't even know there was a Costco. $125
is the regular
until,
price.
A few weeks ago, some listeners may remember we had to end the podcast rather quickly because my then fiance, now wife, she had a mini stroke and we had to go to the hospital that night and everything. And well, right after she got out, I noticed like here's a hospital and there's a Costco right next door. I'm like, ooh, awesome! There's a Costco, but I think it's like $100 for a 1 year membership, and I think that's what it is. And
I have no idea.
I'm thinking it's like $100.
I thought Sam's Club was $40,
and, you know,
but that was years ago.
As little as we would shop there. Paying $100, it'd be like paying $200 for Metroplex, you know, just to go in there. Yeah,
you're paying $100
so,
just
you know,
to save.
I've actually been trying to see 30. If there's anybody in this area who is willing to trade, you know, like one of the Brave figures. I have a big Volfog or a Tri-Bomber or even the Goldimarg. There's the Goldimarg is in that box right there. It's not empty. You know, I would trade those one of those figures or and a little cash maybe or preferably just trade straight up. If somebody has a Costco membership in the area and is willing to stop by and pick up a Metroplex, you know, we work out a deal. But you know. Yeah.
Get a toy worth over $100, i.e. the ones you're trading, for $80.
Yeah, and be Yeah, it'd be
that would be a good deal if somebody had the Costco membership and
It would be awesome.
Yeah, sadly, I don't have one. Otherwise, I would have.
I'd love to have that figure, but I fear that's one of the figures I'm going to miss out on. And by the time I do have money, it's going to be three times the price. So.
I think you're going to luck out. I mean, being this is a big release figure, it's going to be like Unicron. When he first came out, everybody was all excited. We all ran out and grabbed him
deep
retail.
Deep clearance, yeah. He went down, I think he got down as low as $30.
He sat around for months and then went on clearance. I mean, Hasbro does not usually tend to run limited numbers on a wide release figure. I think this is actually going to work to your advantage. By the time you have money, he's going to be showing up at Marshalls and TJ Maxx.
In a beat to hell box.
And that's when you'll find him.
And that's when I'm going to snag one and make me a Metro Titan.
That's what I was going to do. Actually, I was thinking I'd like to get one to kitbash into Fort Max. Get that new party head warden.
Yeah, I got to think about that.
Repaint
Metro Max. Don't do that to me. I'm going to have to buy two now.
Warden on it.
I think we had a discussion about that, me and Weird Wolf. I know I had a discussion with somebody about that.
I think we talked about Warden last week on the podcast. I don't think
about
we talked about putting him on Metroplex.
The other day
we didn't talk about going that far. Yeah.
But
that's very, very true. That's a possibility.
If you got money, if you don't, be like me.
Toys fantastic. Go out and buy it, people.
Please trade, please. But hey, it's worked for me so far. I've gotten some awesome stuff through trade. So, I believe that'll wrap us up this week for episode 64 of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. We've had some great discussions. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Like I said, we're sorry for the slight delay in getting the download. From last week's episode up. Matter of fact, I just got it up this morning. Actually, I hadn't even planned on being available this week to record because of my wedding, but, finances and everything kind of allowed me to be home right now. So here I am talking about toys when I should be with my woman. But, it kind of worked out. No, I'm not tired of her. I want to be up there right
now
with her, but no, actually, it kind of worked out because tonight,
honey, I need a break for a couple hours. I'm going to do a podcast.
She's got two of her besties over for a sleepover tonight, and then my wife, slumber party, my wife and
slumber party
are upstairs right now playing Cards Against Humanity, so. Yeah. Which, by the way, like I said at the top of the podcast, we've got a message board version of Cards Against Humanity going on tftalk.net. Want to kind of try it out and see how this works. I think it'll be kind of fun. Check out Posts Against Humanity on tftalk.net. Should be a lot of fun. Lots of fun. But unless you guys have anything else further to say, I'll give you a quick chance right now. Going.
I'm not going to tell you the exact area, but four of the five are available at a store
Georgetown,
in the Central Kentucky area. So whoever is
you've already
for those
taken them
with
back.
The individual bots. Have a nice, fun scavenger hunt. No, actually, I didn't return them to the Georgetown Walmart. It's a different one. No, not yet, but they're going back tomorrow. But I'm actually, here's the sad part is I'm not taking them back to the Kroger because the guy had to manually put in the price. It won't scan them to the barcode, so I don't even know if they would take them back. So I'm just going to return them to Walmart for store credit. So, happy hunting.
I actually wanted to give a shout out to Paul Lighting to thank him personally for doing the introduction for our podcast, and to all my Paul Lighting fans out there, I did
most
do
definitely.
A G1 Perceptor review tribute to him.
Check out Plastic Review's YouTube channel. He's got a lot of great reviews up there, and he's posting some to tftalk.net now, and you know, we got a lot of great stuff going on. As usual, check out our YouTube channel. Please subscribe and please share with your fellow Transformer collectors and fans. You know, the iTunes channel and the YouTube channel. You know, we get more and more subscribers to each. You know, it helps us grow and helps us expand the podcast out into more areas, and you know, helps us bring you a more entertainment value each week. But for Insane Galvatron and Plasticon Review, I am Weird Wolf, and thank you for joining us. We will see you next week on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
See you guys later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP, email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.
Yeah, right now, well, that part there would have nothing to do with the tagline underneath of it. I had to squint to see what it said.
That's a connection on your end, then, because it, you know, Google Talk puts that up. Not, it has nothing to do with my bandwidth or my camera.
That was fun.
That has to be a first.
So yeah, the live podcast toy hunt, that was really interesting. Awesome. That has to be a first. I can guess.